Welcome to the Nehemiah Entrepreneurship Community Podcast. I'm your host, Patrice Sage. Today I have a different, every time I have Art on the line, I have a different thing.
Wait a minute.
There it is.
We're a team, man.
I love it. So, every year, as part of the trustee of the Timothy Plan, we get a shirt. So we are on the board just for the shirt.
I know.
It's just for the shirt. And so this one was a real good one. By the way, Art, who selects the shirt types? Is it you or is it somebody else? That's a little interesting. Who's the fashion person at Timothy?
Patrice, you ought to know by now who selects them. Bonnie.
Well, she does a great job. That's the best. So we've been talking to Art about his book, Invested with Purpose, and you guys have. If you have not seen the other topics, please go to our blog and on YouTube, and you can catch those to kind of get the backstory. Today we're going to focus on the subtopic from Migrant Son to BR Pioneer. Many people do not know that Art's father was not born in America, but he was a veteran. He fought in he was a soldier in the United States. So we're going to kind of talk about today. We're going to see how what shaped this man to become the pioneer that he ended up being. I'm going to read something from the book before I ask Art the questions because I thought this was interesting. So the book is chapter 6 of the book. It opens up with Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. So God has a plan for every one of us. And so little did his parents or his grandparents knew how God would use them years later. Here's another passage or another paragraph in the book that I want to read after that particular passage of scripture. Each of us has a history that influences who we are and what path we take. For Ali, it was a grandfather with a vision and a father who persevered. He grew up in a culture of gratitude for the opportunities found in America. His father modeled American Midwestern values to his children. It is evident in Art's journey that God clearly had a plan for him. He has a plan for all of us. Investing with purpose requires us to take risk, move out of our comfort zone. We may have to make sacrifice in order to embrace what God has for us in the future. And for Art, that was so clear. Art, first of all, Art, did you ever meet your grandfather?
When I was very, very young, Patrice.
And I mean, if you think about the legacy that he left for you and your father, I mean, what was something out of that that made you the man you are today?
Well, man, that's a big question, Patrice. Actually, it was more my father and what he modeled and hard work. And I think you captured it well. I really didn't know my grandfather that well. But they did come to America from actually Palestine, believe it or not. When my father was 14, they came for the right reasons, Patrice. Back then, in the 20s, back then, people came to assimilate, to become Americans, to enjoy the freedom and all the rest. Today, the whole world is upside down. People come to bring their culture with them. They're running away from a culture that's Marxist and coming in and bringing those same ideas. I don't understand it, but my father had to work for every dime he raised his family, basically on the west side of Cleveland, Ohio. Bought a home, had a nice property. We were not wealthy. We were not affluent, but we didn't know it. But his hard work, he worked two jobs, sometimes three, just to make ends meet because he had an eighth grade education. But hard work pays off. And that was what I'm most proud of him for. And he modeled that for his kids.
Art, you are actually, your father was a senior. So that means you were a junior.
Well, that is correct. In fact, growing up, that was my name, Junior. And I hated it. But I finally gotten over that.
Wow.
I more prefer Patrice King Arthur, you know, but King Arthur. Don't call me that either.
So Art, I mean, obviously you're the oldest boy and probably the oldest.
No, I'm not. No. I'm the middle one.
So why were you a Jew? So why did he pick you as the destined child versus your oldest brother?
Well, I mean, who knows? Everybody follows their own path.
Wow.
I got into this industry, the investment industry, 45 years ago. That's the path that God led me down. But the real difference, Patrice, is the relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I grew up in a home, we never went to church, ever. My father, you know, was raised as a young child in a Muslim country. He had to memorize the Quran as a young child. He never really became a Muslim, but he looked around when he got here at Christians and saw how nice they dress up on Sunday and then they live like hell the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. And he just thought that was hypocritical. And as a result of that, and I think too many people even today react to that kind of reality, we never ever went to church until I started dating Bonnie after graduating from high school. And I hated it. And I can't even tell you why I hated that we weren't going. Once we started, that started my journey. And the real difference, I guess, I don't guess, I know the real difference is the relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, on one of my trips back to Israel, because we go every 2 years since we have an Israel fund at Timothy, I was able to put my arm around the finance minister of Israel, who is absolutely Jewish. And I was able to say, you know, only through Jesus Christ can a Palestinian Arab background embrace a Jew in love. And I think he heard that message loud and clear.
Wow, that is incredible. Art, you have a tremendous love for country.
I do. I mean, I got my tie on today.
Not just one, but many. But what's interesting, and you may not necessarily agree with the connection, but your forefathers fought for this nation, you know, and so that love didn't begin with you. It was ever since your grandfather. I mean, do you see that connection in a sense?
Well, when people came to America, Patrice, they came for the opportunity and freedom that America provided. And the immigrants back then had a love for this nation. They assimilated into this nation. And as a result, they're willing to fight for this nation. And so am I. In fact, we fight for it every day in a much different way to try to bring America back from the brink of almost extinction, as the Marxists think they're in control and are trying to take this country and turn it in to the kind of country that would parallel the Soviet Union, look what happened to Venezuela, any place Marxism takes over. And it's a spiritual war, it's a spiritual battle, because Marxism is godless. Wherever Marxism takes over, the country crumbles and everybody becomes very equal in their misery. That's what we're fighting for today, Patrice.
Wow. Art, did your father ever know was he alive when you began to peek at your success in a sense? And if not, what would he say if he sees what you've accomplished today?
Well, he really wasn't. This all came after he had passed. But he would be very pleased. Once I became a Christian, I tried to share with him, but he's a hard-headed Arab. I'm not sure it ever did take. I will know when I get to heaven whether he's there or not. But I do commend him for doing what Christians ought to do, whether he received Christ or not. Work hard, support your family, live values, and be live an exemplary life. And he did that, Patrice.
Wow. And let's talk about that. You talked about in your book, Midwestern Values. And for those of us who are international, that means something here in America. And those Midwestern values, which used to be the American values, is what you kind of grew up in. You talk about the work ethics, the love for country, the love for God, even if they didn't know Christ and so forth. So when you think about what you kind of talked about, I want you to reinforce again, that's the environment that shaped this pioneer. So so do you believe that as we move away from that, we run the risk of not creating more other alleys or more pioneers or change agents that have a clear love for country while at the same time a fear of the Lord? Are we in danger of that as we move away from those foundational values?
We are right at the precipice, and it's going to be a very fascinating decision in a very couple of weeks here of which way America chooses to go. Art Alley is nobody special. The only reason I'm special is I know who's in charge, and it ain't me. Christ is the chairman of my life and the chairman of our board. But nevertheless, the spiritual war is raging. I am concerned about the upcoming election, not because we will not hear the voice of the people, but because vote fraud is rampant. And those of a zero value foundation, the Marxists in this nation, they're going to try to steal the election through vote fraud. If it was an honest election, I believe there are enough people with enough values in this nation where Donald Trump, because of what he's accomplished, not because of what he says and how he says it, but what he's actually done. We got to quit listening to the slick talking politicians and look at what they do. And if you do that, it would be a landslide election. Both houses of Congress would be major majorities and people who love the Lord and have some values, as would local and state leadership. We need good leadership, but no matter what you do, if you try to build the house, if the Lord's not in it, you're building in vain. So we have to get back to being one nation under God once again. And that means a lot more than just lip service.
Wow. And we had a young man yesterday on our studio who talked about, gave us a framework for how to think about elections. If you did not watch that, friends, go back to yesterday's podcast and hear Jonathan as he made the case for how and why we should consider voting the upcoming elections. All right, your father actually met a president. Gerald Ford. Tell us about that. I mean, you know, there's a picture here in your book about your father in 1975 actually greeting Gerald Ford. So how important was that for the family? What was the occasion? Do you remember?
I'm sorry, what was he doing now, Patrice?
He greeted Gerald Ford. He actually had a physical meeting where he greeted Gerald Ford, one of the American presidents.
Well, it's more than Gerald Ford, because he worked hard, but with an eighth grade education. I mean, he was in the restaurant business all his life, started out as a waiter, became the maitre d' of the major premier restaurant in Cleveland, Ohio. And he actually met and served five presidents of the United States, not just Gerald Ford.
Wow.
But he did it, you know, I mean, he was a model of what a maitre d' ought to be, just total service, committed to serving his clientele. And they really came to like him. But, you know, he met five different presidents and served them. So, you know, that he was pretty proud of that, and he should have been.
Wow.
Man, I hadn't even met one yet.
That's incredible. Art, you had a strong love for math growing up. And today you have a, you're like a math, like a numbers genius. Even with games, you don't want to play games with art that has with numbers, man. Either you're very good or you always cheat. I'm not sure which one it is.
But, Patrice, I always keep score. That gives me a distinct advantage.
So tell me about this love for math that you have since you were a kid.
I don't know. Go figure. It's just numbers always made sense to me. I don't know why. And one of my favorite sayings is there is a nature of numbers in the universe. It is a pattern. It is a there's a nature to it, a flow to it. And most people try to avoid numbers like the plague and things like math and all the rest. Now, when you get to calculus, that was a little over my head, but numbers always made sense. But Patrice, the reason I win and you lose a lot of times might have something to do with I keep score.
I love it. Now, Art, in terms of, as you talk about numbers and your love for them, you also fell in love with a young lady named Bonnie. Now, first of all, Art was no nerd. When you look at his young picture, he was a cool dude. Now, by the way, cool guys didn't like numbers when you were coming up. So how did this, you know, hip of a guy end up being a numbers guy?
I don't know, Patrice. I always was able to get along with everybody. I mean, during school, during high school especially, you know, I related to the guys that would be classified as gang members. I also related to the good students, and you know, maybe some of the nerdy guys were my friends. I could relate to both. And that gave Bonnie a little pause because she looked at the one side and said, man, I don't know if I want to date this guy. But I think she had a plan. I had no clue. And she knew what the future lay somehow. God gives women a certain sense. And I don't want to say I was a target, but, you know, I've told my kids growing up that she stood at the edge of the cliff and said, you don't marry me, I'm jumping. That's a lie, but it was fun telling the kids that, and they would repeat that story because I told them growing up all their life. But she's been the blessing of my life. She is the perfect wife. I know you think maybe Gina is, but Bonnie really is. Gina's not so bad either. But yeah, it was a courtship that did not begin until after we graduated from high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's now Bonnie is very beautiful. You've seen her younger pictures. She was gorgeous. You were a handsome young man yourself. And back in those days, there was, you know, traditional value in place. And you both almost kind of came into the Lord as well together down the line later on. So let's talk about how you guys would meet now. So she was in love with you. And did she have any, I mean, did you guys have any clue back then as you guys were courting and getting together what destiny would have hold for you guys? Was there a sense of purpose back then, Art, for both of you guys?
Well, in the beginning, I mean, I had zero foundation in the Lord and church and all the rest. Her family went to a very liberal church, and she started getting concerned about some of the stuff that was going on. I had no clue. And we actually raised our children in a very liberal denomination, not knowing any better, but growing and learning and questioning. And as we grew, we could no longer attend that denomination. And I won't say which one it was, but we just didn't know any better. We thought we were doing, like so many parents, the right thing. You know, we've been married over 58 years now. And we'll tell anybody who asks, the reason we never got a divorce is we could never agree on who gets stuck with the kids. we've had quite a journey. You know, I have learned that she's always right, I'm always wrong, and that keeps things on an even keel.
And Bonnie has a gentle soul. I mean, she's
get her behind a closed door, though, and you'll see somehow she really does. Yeah, she is. She's a sweetheart.
In 1979, you and Bonnie would go to Israel, to Jerusalem, even to your birthplace. Tell us about that. And how was that? Was that your first time going back? And how was the experience.
Yeah, it's not going back. It was our first time going.
Wow.
My father, when his father brought him to America, he was 14 years old. And it had been over 50 years in this nation with the family still over there, the extended family, still in Israel and around Jerusalem and Ramallah particularly, that kept after him to come home, come home, come home. And he resisted because he was an American. He had no desire. And my eldest brother and his wife and Bonnie and I finally got together and he said and decided, you know what, we need to take him back and we need to see some of our roots. So that was our first trip back. And I'm going to tell you, Patrice, you didn't ask, but let me share. Most humbling experience of my life. When we arrived at the Tel Aviv airport, there were 15 relatives there to meet us with tears in their eyes of joy that my father finally came home. Because he would have been one of the leaders of the terrorist clan if he had stayed there. And those people meant nothing to me. You know, I was an American. I grew up to be an American. I didn't know anything about any of them. But it was a three-week journey that was incredible. And, you know, by then, Bonnie and I had grown in our Christian faith and to be there and to walk the steps where Jesus walked. And my Muslim cousin toured us all around Israel, respected the Christian sites that we had. But it was just an incredible thing. And people would, if we didn't get out of the house, we stayed with relatives in Ramallah. If we didn't get out of the house by 8 o'clock to start, you know, touring and visiting all the sites in Israel, we couldn't leave because people would walk for miles to come and pay homage to my father. He was that important to them. And, you know, unfortunately, in my situation, they didn't mean anything to me. But they got to. I mean, they're just a lovely family. And it was our first trip back. And it is as fresh today as it was then. We've been back numerous times since, not to visit relatives, but to visit the Holy Land. And have led groups numerous times. So that was our first trip.
This is an American story. Art, I know you hate me saying this, but there was a sense, there was destiny on you. I mean, because this kind of stuff doesn't just happen. Whereas your grandfather, your father, and the fact that he was a leader, the fact that even in the restaurant, as a maitre d', he was, I mean, meeting five presidents. I mean, do you kind of see the writing on the wall here where God had his hand? Either you or your brother or somebody from your family would have been destined for something. I mean, do you see that, man?
I don't know, Patrice. You know, God gives people opportunities. He gives us free will. You can choose to follow. You can choose to do it or not. He does have a 2x4, I'm sure, with my name on it, and he uses it a lot because I'm a hard-headed Arab as well as my father was. But, you know, if I chose no, he would choose somebody else. So I'm not so sure the destiny. I'll know when I get to heaven. I won't care. I'll just be there anyway. Whether it was me or somebody else, somebody had to do this. I've been blessed. For the first 8 years, I thought I was cursed because it was not easy. And you brought that up in the beginning. It was, I call it being jammed through keyholes when we launched the Timothy Plan because nobody beat a path to our door. And we ran red ink in big, it's very expensive to do what we do. And we ran out of money, Patrice, four different times. And you mentioned the book. That's where we start the book the fourth time. And by the fourth time, I finally got it. You know, God's got this. He wants us to continue. So we just pressed on. But man, the first couple of times, it was excruciating.
And key to your success was marrying Bonnie. So Art, many entrepreneurs are watching this. And by the way, we're talking to Art Alley, the the founder and CEO of the Timothy Plan. If you want to know more about the Timothy Plan, go to timothyplan.com. There you'll learn both about the various mutual funds they have, as well as about the screen that they have, where you can find out if indeed your money is invested in the wrong places, and you can do something about it. And you can reach out and they can help you do that. If you want to get a copy of Art's book, Invested with Purpose, you can get it from Amazon, or you can get it by just going to the Nehemiah website. Art, who you marry is key to your success. My pastor used to say, a man will go only as far as his marriage will take him. For these entrepreneurs who are watching, if you were to give them some advice about, you know, particularly the young ones, you know, what's important in a mate as you consider being in business, or those who are married right now, what's important to balance between the marriage and the business? What advice would you give them?
Patrice, it's insoluble. Men have, as generally speaking, the way we're wired, we have a passion to just get out there and get her done and, you know, follow what we believe is the Lord's leading, but a lot of different forces lead you. It's not always them. That's why he created marriage between a man and a woman, and he equips the female piece of that marriage with a sense that we can't understand or explain. And if you're not talking to your wife about the opportunities of whatever it may be that you feel the Lord is leading you, you're going to end up, and if I took my shirt off, you'd see all the scars of the times I didn't do it, because, you know, she doesn't know business. I do. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But God equips women with a special sense. And if your wife has a hesitancy about some opportunity you're going to pursue, the best advice I can give you is listen to her. Take everything into an account. She does not have to understand all the nuts and bolts of how the business works, but she can understand whether it's a pretty good move for you or a move you better be very careful of taking. And on the Timothy launching, by then I had finally learned. I got to go home and talk to Bonnie when we were motivated to do this. And I did. And she got really excited. And she's actually the one that came up with the name. I said, you know, if we're going to do this, we have to start it. I need a name for the project. And she came up with Timothy Plan. So she's been behind this. She's been on staff ever since the beginning. She's been wanting to retire for the last 26 years because she'd much rather stay at home, but she loves what we're doing, totally sold out. And we are fortunate that all of our three children really caught the vision and are very gifted in their various aspects. And they all, with Stephen that passed away a little over a year ago now, they're all sold out to the mission of Timothy, how critically important it is to America, how important it is to the body of Christ to align the way you invest the money God has entrusted to you with his word instead of just carelessly chasing it like the world does. And people have finally come to grips with that, and it is a growing segment. And when it keeps growing, I think it is going to have a positive impact on our nation. But whether it does that or not, it will have a positive impact on you. If you follow the way the Lord wants you to do it, it's a game changer. So my advice, talk any business decision over with your wife and listen to her. You are the leader, but listen and take into account what God has through her, whether it be caution or whether it be full steam ahead. That's the key, in my view, to a good, successful, not just marriage, but business. I hope that answered the question, Patrick.
It does. It does. You know, Art talked about his children, Douglas, Stephen, who went to be with the Lord a couple of years ago, and Cheryl, actually last year, and Cheryl, and they're all involved in the business. He also has 10 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. Art, by the way, I'm starting actually this week coaching one of your grandchildren through biblical entrepreneurship. And this kid, now let me say this to you. This kid is so impressive. I mean, his humility, you know, because obviously Art, many times children of parents like yourself get very entitled. I wasn't very entitled coming up. I was horrible. But your grandson, just his mannerism, his sense of, is just incredible. So I'm looking forward to work with him. But talk to us a bit about the balancing. I got two more questions for Art, and we're going to wrap this one up. But how you were able to, because many times the kids don't want to be involved in the business, but you were able to figure out a way. How'd you do it with both Douglas and Cheryl and Stephen, and now some of the grandchildren involved? How'd you do it, Art?
Well, actually, only one of the grandchildren, but you're right. He's one sharp young man, and he gets it. And he understands numbers, and that's very helpful. But, yeah, he's solid. He's got three kids of his own. We're just delighted to have Greg on board. But the children, the three that we had, they just bought into. They understood how critical, you know, anybody can get a job and make money. But Freshest Pew can make a difference. And they got that. Stephen bled Timothy from the very beginning. He was through the hard times of being jammed through keyholes, and we all kept our resume in our top left-hand drawer because, you know, you got to provide for your family, and we didn't know if God was going to carry us through or not, but he did. Cheryl is one of the most gifted artists we have. Everything you see from Timothy is Cheryl created with her team back there, from the website to the marketing material to the rest. Our oldest, Doug, runs the research team here on what these companies are really doing beneath the radar. And we had a little hard time with him at first because he, you know, he spent 21 years in the Navy. And he came in with that military thing, and he came down one day, you know, he's running this thing because he's sharp. I mean, he really is. I'm not saying, I don't treat family any different than anybody else here. They all know that. But he came down early on and he says, man, you know, I would tell somebody to do something and they would question me about it. So I said, welcome to the civilian world, man. Because in the military, you don't question orders, you just do them. But he's doing a great job with the research department. So in their own rights, every one of them they've been gifted. They are a real asset to Timothy, and they're not here because they're our children. They're here because they deserve to be here from the gifts that they employ here.
Wow. Art, my last question to you. Many entrepreneurs along the way in pursuit of business lose their children. But God has really, many are jealous listening to this. All three kids, not only in the Lord, but also in the business. And by the grace of God, the grandchildren are not all there, but you have you have this tribe you're building. What do you think the key was for you and Bonnie that ensure that this consuming business that took so much of you guys, but yet that the children were not lost along the way? Because that's the struggle of many entrepreneurs.
You know, I think that's true beyond entrepreneurs, Patrice. Excuse me. And the problem we have today, I think, you know, I don't mean to say this in any prideful way, but I think modeling, the best thing you can do as a father for your children is be there and love their mother and model that and model honesty and integrity and, you know, don't compromise with the world. I think they saw that growing up, but my real burden is for the young people of this nation. My real burden is that they are with well-meaning parents. In fact, there's too many single parent homes, and that's a big problem. But even if there isn't, well-meaning parents will take their kids to church and think they are building a foundation under them. But the majority of churches, unfortunately, in America today have gotten so prosperous, they've incorporated the world into their operation. And these kids are not getting a rock solid biblical worldview. So they can take them to Sunday school, take them to church, right on through high school. Then the kids go to college and go off the rails. They don't have the foundation it takes. And, you know, I think it's just well-intentioned parents not really realizing themselves that they're not building inside their kids, especially when it comes to church, a rock-solid biblical foundation. If you don't have that, the world is eventually going to lure you away. And it's just heartbreaking to see that happening so widespread today.
Wow, good advice. Well, don't leave yet, because we're going to have Art give you a word of encouragement. But before he does, got a few things. First, the next time we have Art in studio, we're going to talk about the early years. George Robinson, good to have you watching, brother. He said good. And George, you understand the important. George is actually, this is a drum, I'm thinking, he's from Dallas. He also has his son in his business. So, George, you understand the importance of what Art is talking about. George, if you don't know much about Timothy, you go to their website, you can get to know more. You'll love this company, my friend. I'm not sure where your money is, but consider Timothy. Art, so we're going to have Art come back next week, and we're going to, based on his schedule, we're going to deal with the early years. Art did a lot of things before Timothy, and we're going to look at those things that he did and what helped to shape what Timothy does today, or who he is, the different, not business, but different, what he did in the financial service industry before Timothy. Also, if you want to know more about the Timothy Plan, visit timothyplan.com, timothyplan.com. There you can learn about their screens, their value-based screens. There you can also learn about, you can get a free screening to see where your investments are. George, if you want to know if your investments are actually consistent with your values, there's a free screening that you can learn about. If we talked about the biblical stewardship class, which is free at the Timothy Plan website, you can also take this class where you can learn about how to be a better steward of your money, budgeting, investing, so on and so on, giving, so on and so on. It's a great resource for churches as well. And then you can also learn more about Art Alley and how to get in touch with his company. Also, if you want to get the book, you can go to Amazon to get the book Invested with Purpose. Amazon, or you can go to Nehemiah Project website. You can get a copy of the book there, either in ebook or in physical book form. Also, if you want to know more about the Nehemiah Project, by the way, if you enjoy this podcast, I want you to share it. Share it with your friends, your family. If you want people to be inspired by a story of what shaped a man who became a pioneer in our nation and in the industry of finance, share it in your social media platform. If you want to know more about how we can work with you to become a biblical entrepreneur, build your business from God's perspective, go to our website, nehemiahecommunity.com, nehemiahecommunity.com. There you can learn about our training program, Biblical Entrepreneurship, Identity and Destiny. You can learn about our coaching program, how we can come alongside you through group coaching and one-on-one coaching and coach you around building your business. You can learn about our Access to Capital program, how you can we can invest in your business based upon you being trained and coached and fitting certain criteria. Learn about how to become a member of our community so that together we can transform the world. With that said, Art, there are many entrepreneurs who are watching and listening around the world, like Art, I mean, like George. George has a very successful business over in Dallas, and they're a bit perplexed about our upcoming election. Some are discouraged, especially the presidential debate did not encourage a lot of people. What advice would you say to the entrepreneurs who want to not only vote their faith, but also want to vote the person in who will be good for business and job creation? What advice would you share with our people? Speak, by the way, both to the entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs on this matter.
Oh, man. We're out of time. You asked me an open-ended question like that. All I would say is I would reiterate what you just said. There are Christian business people all over this nation, but all of their training on operating their business comes from the world instead of the church and the Bible. And as a result, you know, you can't tell much difference between the Christian businessman and the secular one. That's why Nehemiah and biblical entrepreneurship is so critical to be trained and how to be a biblical entrepreneur, much different, much deeper than a Christian entrepreneur. But I would just simply close with saying this about whatever you do, and it is straight out of scripture. If the Lord doesn't build the house, your business, you are laboring in vain. It may seem good, you may seem successful, but ultimately, if the Lord isn't in the center of it, you're going to have problems that you've never even dreamed of. So put him front and center would be my word, but biblical entrepreneurship is a critical element in this road to success for you.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Art. Hey, I hope you enjoyed our podcast. Again, if you want to learn more about other podcasts with Art Alley, go to our blog or our YouTube channel. You'll learn about the other podcasts we did with him. And if you want to learn about Timothy Plain, go to timothyplain.com. With that said, Art will be back here to talk about the early years, the things that prepared him for the Timothy Plain. Let me pray for you. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord enable you to steward those talents that you have under your care, and to steward them in such a way that one day you can hear those wonderful words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Guess what? He'll not make you ruler over much." God bless you. Thank you for watching. Thank you again, Art.
Amen, brother. God bless you. Thank you.